At the end of Parshas Emor, Perek Chavdalid, starting with Pasuk Yud, the Torah presents the well-known Isur of Megadef. Megadef is essentially defined as blasphemy, Kilas Hashem. The language of the Pasuk is striking, and the Rishonim are very punctilious about examining both the structure and the language of the text. That's what we'll try to examine in the course of this year. Torah begins, Vayetzei ben Isha Yisraelis, a rather enigmatic expression to say the least. Vayetzei. We know that the Torah says, Vayetzei Yaakov Be'er Shova Ve'elech Harona. That pasuk we understand. There's a leaving of one locus and departure to another location. Here the Torah just says, Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis, a very cryptic expression that Rashi presents three explanations from the Medrash. The Torah continues, the son of this Jewish woman who's not identified, Behu ben Ish Mitzri, his father is an Egyptian, so we have a mother who's a Jew, a father who's a Goy. Torah continues, Besof b'nei Yisrael. This fellow leaves Besof b'nei Yisrael. So again, we are thunderstruck by the structure of the pasuk. The Torah should have said, it would have been far more appropriate, Vayetze ben Isha Yisrael, at least Besof b'nei Yisrael. That would have been much more logical, Behu ben Ish Mitzri, as opposed to Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis, Behu ben Ish Mitzri, Besof b'nei Yisrael. Incredibly cumbersome structure of the pasuk. The Ibn Ezra learns here, Vayetze me'ola. The Ramban also more or less subscribes to that position. And the Isor of W.C. Hoffman, a parish that's not so well known, in Vayikra, he follows the Ibn Ezra, and he understands, brings an asmachta from two places in Tanakh, from Bamidbar, also from Gilas Esther, Vayetze Besof Ha'ir. So he's focusing on the beginning of the pasuk, Vayetze, and then Besof B'nei Yisrael. U'b'chol he argues on the Rabban, that Besof B'nei Yisrael refers to a specific location, that where this person went. But he understands Besof B'nei Yisrael as referring to not the way the Ibn Ezra translates it, namely this location, but rather Besof B'nei Yisrael Shekileh B'fahesya B'tech HaKol, that the Kol was done of a public nature. Rashi follows the Medrash. Rashi Kedarko, unlike Ibn Ezra, unlike the Ramban, takes the attack of the Medrash. You can see here the Rashi in Pasuk Yud. Rashi actually cites three different pshatim, three pirushim that are taken from Medrash Tanhuma. One Rashi says, Mehechon Yotza, Me'olamo Yotza. That's one opinion, Rab Levi. Rabbi Brechia Omer, Miparsha Shalomalo Yotza. I'll discuss this in a moment. The juxtaposition of the previous Parsha to this one indicates there's some connecting element here, and therefore the connecting element is the following. Ligleg V'Omar, V'Omar Shabbos Yarachenu, previous Parsha speaking about Lechav Aponim. So he commented that we know that the change took place on Shabbos, so he posed the following question. Derech HaMelech Lechol Paschama V'chol Yom, Shema Paschonena Shal Tisha Yom V'Bidmiya. Why would Hashem Yisbarach have to eat bread that's not fresh? When I grew up, I never ate fresh bread. My mother, Aleha Shalom, used to buy bread that was essentially a week old. It was much cheaper. There was no need to eat fresh bread. So we got accustomed to eating bread that wasn't so fresh. It wasn't the end of the world. Someone in this shul asked me, he buys challahs. Sometimes he buys too many challahs. And then they're left over. So he said, what should I do? I said, what's the problem? Make French toast. I'm not exactly a culinary artist to give him advice in these areas, but I didn't see it was a problem. I can say to eat bread that's not fresh, even here in Eretz Yisrael. I don't necessarily go to a bakery. I rarely go. So I don't understand what the issue is. My children don't want bread that's a day old. Anyway, so here we're asking about Ribbono Shel Olam. Shema pas tanen shel tishi yamin, 9 day old bread. Beat me up. Umasnit amra. So that's the second explanation that Rashi quotes, and then because he was so upset, Mibezino Shemay Sheyatzal Mechuyev. I'll get to that in a moment. Bolita Olam Basof Machnedon. This fellow had a crisis, an identity crisis. What is his status? Is he Jewish? Is he not Jewish? We know the din. It's a Gemara. Namely, that if my mother is Jewish, a massive issue over here in this country, namely the Geirus issue, many different efforts to resolve it. I recently heard a very Chashuv Rav who works for the Rabbanut Yerushalayim in the area of Geirus. He's a man with incredible experience. And he was presenting the issue, which I imagine most of us are aware of what the issue is. There's a concept here called Zera Yisrael that was promoted by, I won't get into names now, I'll try to avoid getting involved in that. Zera Yisrael means someone comes here and his mother is not Jewish, but the person is clearly part of the scenery, if you will. Namely, he identifies himself under the Chok HaShvut, somehow he's able to get into the Chok HaShvut, whether it's a grandparent or some other way of doing it. And he also fights in Tzahal and certainly sees himself as a citizen, as Vachman HaShuva, like anyone else. Therefore, he's called Zera Yisrael. Zera Yisrael means that even though his Jewish identity is not that of a Jewish mother, but Zera Yisrael, he's connected culturally. In other ways, so this is the subject of a, how shall we describe it?
The modern
Giyur crisis, which is being addressed by the Sar Hadatot and by others who are opposed to his position. And it's a complicated issue, no question about it. It's a massive issue. We're talking about 800,000 plus people who are involved in this matter, and the idea is to try to get them to undergo some sort of conversion, hopefully, and ideally, and realistically, and correctly, with this Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. You're not going to convert 800,000 plus people with Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs overnight. It's just not going to happen, and it's just absolutely something which is almost unrealistic. So this is the issue, I just mentioned it. So here, this fellow, because he has a crisis in identity, so he came out, he went to the Beis Din, Moshe Rabbeinu, they'll pass him the Shaila. What is his status? Yotza Mechuyav. Apparently they told him that he's not Jewish. Now how's that possible? He has a Jewish mother, we'll get to that in a few moments. Bolita Olam Besof Machane Don. But he wanted to be part of Klal Yisrael. Amar lo Matzi Cholokan. What are you doing here? Amalayim, they've done on me. I'm from Shevet Dan. Amalayim, Ishal Digla Beisus, the Beis HaVesim Ksiv. Regarding the Golem. Beis HaVesim. And your father is a Mitzri. Therefore, regarding the Golem, you don't count. Nichnas Beis Dinu Shal Meshav, Yerza Mechuyiv, Amma Begidiv. What a striking response and reaction that this fellow presented. Now, just mention, this is certainly very much in sync probably with the wonderful gentleman sitting on my right, who's a psychiatrist. So I could take an approach which would be more of that kind of analysis of these three opinions that Rashi cites, and that's already how many want to interpret the Rashi. I mean, what brought him to this Avera of Klova, of Giduf, which is Avera Chamur Ma'od? So Rashi quotes, as I said, three opinions. So let's just briefly summarize them. I'm sure Dr. Blair Shlita could have a field day with this. The person who, essentially, the first opinion that Rashi quotes over here, Me'olamo Yotza. Wow. You probably could write a doctoral thesis on this, I would imagine. Essentially, I think, to put it mildly, or to put it in a very simple fashion, in layman's terms, the way I am, he lost his cool. Basically, he lost it. Me'olamo Yotza. And as a result, he did what he did. Sometimes people, what they call here in modern Hebrew, Yibudesh Tanot, which is a modern terminology. Namely, he lost self-control. And that can happen. It can happen to any one of us. It can happen. It rarely happens, probably, I imagine, to Rov of Klal Yisrael, Rov Minyan of Minyan, but sometimes it can happen. That's the first opinion. The second opinion, again, that Rashi here expresses as well, that of Rav Brechia. I mean, the first opinion, I'll just comment again, just that which came to my head just now, Gemara and Saito, Gemara, I think, and Daf Gimel. Ein Ode Moed Rav Eirom Ken Nifesel Bo Ruach Shtus. I heard Rav Soloveitchik a number of times quote from his great-grandfather, the Beis HaLevi, didn't understand how it's possible for someone to do an Avera. He couldn't understand it. So in the Shir, there was quite a, more than a chuckle, or more than a kind of silent rumors that were going around. What in heaven's name is with Rav Shaber? He doesn't understand how it's possible to do an Avera. Kalmod! It's quite, but no one had the audacity to say that. Then the Rav went on to explain, his great-grandfather, there's no way you can do an Avera. If there's an Isra of Hesach Hadas or the Ibn Shalom 24-7, how can one do an Avera? And the Rav thought it was Pashit. To him it was Pashit as well. Avera means Hesach Hadas. Ain't another Mayra Amkera. Elim Kein Nichnas Baruach Shlus. The Gemara says in the Seita there, Dav Gimel. So, Rashi brings another opinion. Rav Brechia. Namely, and Rashi adds one word. I looked at the Medrash. Relating Lechem Aponim. So Rashi changed the Doloshan of Tanchuma. Rashi has the word Ligleg. Fascinating. You know, the Lechem Aponim, how could the Ribbon Hashem, quote unquote, stomach the Lechem Aponim? When clearly, I deal with this issue. I deal with young, modern, American youth. Rachmanu Litzlan, they should not have fresh pizza. Rachmanu Litzlan, there should be a kugel that's not piping hot. Rachmanu Litzlan, that the cholent should not be succulent, having been made 5 minutes ago. I'm not condemning all American youth. Young American youth who have not yet been exposed to the Lafiyan Yuzdaiti, to the values of Torah and the like, and what's Tofel, what's Ikar. Anyway, the Lashon here is Ligleg. That's not in Tanchuma. But Rashi is that Lashon of Ligleg. So Ligleg refers, of course, to lag and booze that can bring a person to all kinds of things, namely mockery, scorn, ridicule, leitzonis. Chazal say, leitzonis achas doicha mea teichachas. One leitzonis can undermine everything. And here, again, by the way, there's an obvious issue over here. My follower Shalom used to be bothered by this Rashi. We're talking about Ribbon Shalom. Why, well, Ribbon Shalom eats lechem aponim on an ongoing kind of basis. My father could not handle that aspect of it. Melam Basar Adam, okay. He eats lechem tari kol yom. But Ribbon Shalom doesn't eat lechem aponim. And in general, my father asked me, lechem aponim, I think, was the thickness of a tefach, the Gemara says, melachis. So certainly, it doesn't become dry so quickly. Over Pesach, I met several Sfardim who eat very thick matzah. As long as the matzah is not a tefach, it's not a problem of chometz. The Gemara discusses this issue of psochim, also in Shulchan Aruch. Sfardim have, it looks like a lafa. They eat lafot. It looks, they told me, it's much tastier than the matzah that you eat. You eat this thin matzah, this rakik. Doesn't have the same kind of time that we have. But again, here there's a zilzol. However, Rashi did not satisfy himself with that second interpretation. Rashi promotes a third interpretation. Rashi quotes a medrash, Mezdinu Shamashi Yatza Mechuyel. And again, as I indicated, we're talking about a person whose father was a mitzvi, whose mother was Jewish. And what's interesting is that the Torah, of course, does not identify him. Take a look at the psukim again. Vayetzi ben isha Yisraelis, v'hu ben ish mitzvi. Mother is Jewish, the father is Egyptian. Vayinotzu v'amachaneh, ben ha-Yisraelis v'isha Yisraelis. We don't know what the nature of this striving, altercation. The word nitzim is a word that's also used in modern Hebrew, here in this country. But vayinotzu v'amachaneh, we probably remember it most from Dasa v'Abir. Shnei anoshim ibrim nitzim. And nitzim already has a certain kind of connotation. Namely, we're not talking about an altercation that has some fundamental grounding in it, but rather Generally, Nitzim refers to two individuals who have a certain cynical kind of approach to each other, and there's not necessarily any basis for this machlogi. We don't know. The Torah doesn't really reveal to us the nature of the machlogi. It could very well be it's related to Niske Mama, because at the end of this parasha, which is the Sugya Baba Kama, that the Torah mentions in the Psukim, you look at the end, starting with Tezvav, Tezayin, Yudzayin, the Torah connects these Psukim at the end, which talk about the Zikin, Niske Mama, and it's connected to this parasha of Mekalo. So maybe Vayinotsu, that may have been the cause. I'm just speculating, very speculative, the statement that I just made. Whatever the case is, the Torah goes on in Yud Aleph. Vayikov ben Hoshea Yisraelis Hashem, again, does not identify him by name, but rather tells us whom his mother was. And he cursed by Kalel, by Avios El Moshe, and only then, after the Torah has, in a way, obscured his identity, then the Torah tells us whom his mother is. And so the issue, as I said, was what exactly is his status? Namely, here they would say in Hebrew, Kviat La'om. That's the way they would say in the modern state of Israel. Was he Jewish from a halachic standpoint? Was he not Jewish? And we know that his mother is Jewish. Clearly, he's chayav kol mitzvah shebat Torah. And certainly, if he violates one of them, he's going to be punished correctly. And he wants to be a part of Klal Yisrael. And his mother is from Shevet Dan. And so he wants to pitch his tent in the Machne Dan, as Rashi said. And somehow they don't permit him. And he said, "Bimdos Dan ani." And they say, "Ishal diglo." And those, even though the la'om, as it's term today, is nikva al pi ha'em, but chaniyat ha'shvatim is nikva al pi ha'aba, the mishpachais of the beis ha'vaisa. So he finds himself in a malkot. He finds himself in a very difficult situation. Tzadachav is chayiv in all mitzvahs. On the other hand, somehow they don't give him permission to be part of the chevra. So where should he go? Should he go to the erev rav of the mitzvah, where they'll find his father? They can live a life of hefker without mitzvahs. So he goes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Not for regular shayla. Goes to the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu to ask what his status is. And at the end, he gets an answer that he's very unhappy with. And what is the result? The result is, Rachman Litzlan, he loses it, whatever explanation you understand in Rashi, and Vayikalev. So now I want to explore the matter which I'm going to show you in the both in the Psukim and primarily in the language of Rishonim, which is really very striking. The main issue which I will try to discuss is why is it that the Torah initially concealed the name of his mother, but rather it mentioned several times Ben Isha Yisraelis. Only at the end of the Pasha, then the Torah tells us Vishay Nimo, Shlomo's Bas Divri L'mati Don. Why is that so? And only once does it say Ish HaYisraeli. On the mother, it mentions Shlomit Bas Divri L'mati Don. And Rashi calls her the Mefarshim. Bas Divri, says Rashi, it's a Medrash. I have actually Zirax the entire Medrash. I'm not going to read it. Just look at the Lashon of Rashi. Dabronis Oysa. And the Medrash writes that's why she's called Bas Divri. The language of Dibur. There's excessive Dibur that's going on over here. So the question is, why did the Torah not mention her name at the beginning of the Parsha? Before he was Mekalel, the Targum Yonasan learns he was Mekalel, he used the Shem HaMeferish that was said at Har Sinai, that was the Klala that was used. So many Rishonim as the Kasha, Ababanel as the Kasha, and others as well, the Archaim HaKodesh as the Kasha, and they have different approaches. I saw in the Zohar HaKodesh the following. The Zohar answered this kasha very briefly. Vayikov ben Isha Yisraelis Hashem Ma'o Vayikov Nokiv Madhavasosim. He verbalized that which was concealed. V'shem imo shomus bas divri adkan sosim shmei di'ime. The Zohar itself is bothered by the kasha. Till that point, the name of his mother was not revealed. Came in the Tzid Vayikov Nokiv shmei di'ime. The Zohar is very marich. The moment he cursed, at that moment, the name of the mother, the Torah reveals the name of the mother. So I would like to show you how the Rishonim here learn Pshat in the Pasuk, and they understand this as the influence of a mother over a child is absolutely beyond description. It's machriya in a way that we can't even begin to understand it completely. Midos tovos, midos ros, primarily comes from the mother. Chinuch habanim is totally on the mother. And I can bring you many mamari chazal that would prove this. The Gemara Yevamos on Samach Gimel, like it is. The Gemara says that the Gemara describes a person whose wife didn't always carry out his wishes. One of the great Talmudic sages, without mentioning him by name, because I don't want you to have another bad opinion of his wife or of him. So he was told, "Dayenu shemegabes banenu," and they are, as a result of our wives, they raise our children. And that's what the Gemara says in Kedusha. Another Gemara, the Gemara says that the pasuk says, "Ish imo v'yavim tiro," mentions when it comes to yira, first it mentions the mother. When it comes to kibud, it mentions kaveda sodicha v'semecha, first the father. Famous Chazal. So Chazal say, "Haben mechaved isimo yesim v'yavim shemeshadalto nidvorim." Lashon Gemara in Kedusha, Gemara daf lamed, because the mother is meshadalto. She knows how to woo the child. If I can use such terminology, the word shidul ki yifate. That's how the Talmud translates Lashon Shidul, enticing. So the mother, as mashpia on the child, not only directly, but certainly indirectly, Chazal say Uba Yerach Imo. What's Uba Yerach Imo? There's a connection. There's a famous Yerushalmi quoted by Tesis Chagiga. I'll read the Lashon Yerushalmi in the second paragraph of the Yerushalmi Chagiga. Shoisa Imo Shel Acher Mu'uberes Bo, when the mother of Acher, Elisha Ben Abuya, was pregnant, Avra Pam Abati Abed Azara, she passed by a cloister, as I call it, as Rabbeim used to call it. Ve'ericha me'isa amin, and she sent it from that mina of Zara. Ve'isa oiso hareach mefapea begufa ki'irso shel akina. Wow, and it was penetrated. Tosus quotes and Abtezvam and Beze Chagiga that his mother ate from that min, and that min was mizdazea begufa ka'achna, like a nochosh with eres. That's mazik, that's memis. And the achil of his mother from Tikkuris Abnezorah had ashpa on his son till he was mekatzes benetios, as we know what happened with Achir, Elisha, and Abuya. So that's the same you saw that I mentioned a moment ago in terms of the Zoya that I quoted. I actually have a lengthy Zoya with him. As long as this Ben Isha Yisraelis was still by Machaneh, betov Ben Yisrael, even though Yotze Be'olomo, as Rashi says, he's still called Ben Yisraelis. And the Torah does not reveal the name. Once Nisgale Kolono, once he underwent this Hidar Derut, Adyot Achreina, then the Torah is Mepharsi in the name of his mother, and that's what the Zoya writes, that she apparently is considered to have a significant handle and a significant responsibility in Achrayis regarding this matter. Now let me show you in the Rishonim how they see this matter. Take a look on the, we'll start with the second page here. Look in the Ramban, over the right hand column, on Vayetzei, Be'isha Yisraelis. So the Ramban underlined the relevant sections. Kichot v'sfasav al Ishi Hashem. Apparently the chet was that some sort of a verbal chet. Vo'chicho Isha Yisraeli. And that Jewish person gave him tochacha. Vayinasu Shneim. As a result, there was a struggle. A quarrel, Vayicha Abba, we kill him a mouth of an Afshar. Next Ramban. The time Ben Israeli, Svisha Israeli, he makes a startling statement. Ki Agoy Abba Abbas Yisrael, Abba 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 Israeli. Machloek is in the Gemara Yavamis. So we pass the Lalacha now like that. But yet the Ramban says, Mizamin Abba, Shupok the Kuna, the Kolshkin going on to the next page, Shaynenu Israeli, Mishmo, the Indian Yachas Bid Golem, as I just mentioned. And then he goes on, according to Askoanim, the Sobhulay Yisrael, Balamichin is Geyer. Not that he required Geyrus. He's Jewish. His mother's a Jew. El Gechon Yisrael, Shemichas Lebris, Bemilo, Tfilo, Batsuas, Domim, Abdeskad, Lom, Shalach, Achare, Imo, Benitbak, Mi Yisrael. Hoyo Imoim. He wanted to go after his mother. He wanted to be identified as a Jew. And in fact, he was Kim Mamzer. Wow. But we paskin, of course, that he's a Jew. You know, pass like his position. Achog is in the Gemara. And then he quotes in Sarfati. This is the most famous Ramban in Chumash. The Mishnah has a sefer called Parshas Vachim. The whole sefer is based on this Ramban. But he quotes him, Achlok the Sarfatim, and the previous position, he looked at the Sarfatim here on the bottom of the page. Kitama Geres Neshara Koyne Matteo. Oh, that's the question. What was the status before Matteo? Was this din, Kayam, name is din of when a goy lives with a Jewish woman, is the Vlad considered to be a Jew or not? So it could be before Matteo, that was not the case. The halacha that a Jewish woman is the one who's koveya, which is a sugya, a mishnah, is only after Matan Torah, but before Matan Torah, perhaps not. This is a big machlokes, and that's the whole sefer Parshas Brachot. It's not a sefer. It's on this one, man. Essentially, it's a very beautiful sefer. So, just going further with this matter, now I'm going to show you, besides the position of the Ramban, which I now just referred you to a number of Rambans. So now I want to go to Rabbeinu Bachaye, and in a startling fashion, going back to page number 2 again, the second page, Rabbeinu Bachaye comments on that in the left-hand column, we left Bezdiru Shel Moshe, I underlined it, and this back and forth that I described, Vuhu Ben Ish Mitzvei, and this is the Chazal, Tavchuma Shoharag Moshe, that's the mitzvah that was killed by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mamuna Al-Bala Shel Shomus, we all know the story that Rashi quotes, and the next page, Rabbeinu Bachaye, okay, there's a struggle. People often quarrel, disagree with each other. Why should that be the source of? Why should that lead to? And that somehow exasperated him to the point where he was engaged in klola. Then the Rabbeinu Bachaye asked at the bottom, what did the Torah have to reveal this story? It's almost like almost the kind of rechilos that the Torah is engaged in chas v'sholom. Next page, Rabban says, they're also obligated in giduf. There are two tolos in this story. You see what I'm reading? Upper left-hand corner on page 689. How can one be possibly ensnared by such a chet of such enormity? Klala, giduf, ki ma poshe ha-rosha ha-mukhlak. Someone who is very sharoshim, or rotten. Asher be'ikor toldosav pogu misalom v'imo. V'ashenis, that the Mekalel, Rachman Litzlan, look at the consequences. That imagine someone who is Mevarach Es Hashem and carefully thinks through what the Bracha is all about, and what he owes Hashem is Barach, etc., etc. So that obviously is a Kal V'Chaymet. But then there's another comment on the next page, which is page number 691, Rabbeinu Bachaye continues. Rishem Imo, Yud Aleph. Call me Shenira Bosimoni Azuz Upasos Roy Lidoga Harimo. If you see something which is amiss, awry in a person's character, is defective, then clearly the mother is a factor. Kiyin Sabishin Sam is a tipas taro as psul of Mashova Maisa. Identify her. First he mentions the chet, and then her name later on emerges, and then he writes, next line, biologically, you know, usually they speak about nature versus nurture. Says the Rabbeinu Bachaye over here that this almost genetic kind of predisposition is a result of the nature of the mother. And that's why he points out in Malchus Yisrael, Tanakh, you always have names of the mothers. Sheimimo Azuba Bashilche, and other examples. Ki Teva Ha'odem Yisdamil Teva Ha'ei Benim Shachachma. If you see someone who's a tzaddik, a balanova, a balmidais, he needs a meifei salimo, shoyis a tznua, who balas machshava teva, the alkein zosei love. And he brings other rayas to this yisod. So I'm fascinated by this comment of Rabbeinu Bachaye, and it's pushed to me that it's 1,000% true. Now, a name, what's in a name, the bard said, but I won't get into that. My father used to read to us bedtime, when we were 3 years old, put us to sleep, Shakespeare, or Tanakh, or Mamar Chazal. We used to learn the Sefer, which is not well known, Bichlal, Midrash Hamor. I don't think anyone ever looks at it. It actually was republished not long ago. Very beautiful Sefer. It came out, went through the entire Sefer. But it was great, because Usually when you take, as I mentioned, a soporific takes a few minutes to work. Usually the drasha of Rav is instantaneous, and the last Amora was almost as good. So the name of a person, to a large extent, reflects the very essence of the person. There's a famous Ramban Chumash, beginning of Bereshit. Vayikra Adam Shemo Sechala Be'ema Ulof HaShamayim. Adam gives a name for each min. And that Shem, Ramban writes Ba'arichos. I'm not going to go into the whole medrash that the Ramban is based on. Adam Arishon was able to identify the tchunos of each Avidu part of his Loshon. Says the Ramban there, Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hevi Es Kol Chayes HaSodeh Chalom HaShamayim V'chein Kol Bali Chayim Shemayim V'chein Adam Arishon V'hu Loma B'hikir Tivom Shol Kol Echad V'yechad Mayim Kloma Hashem Aroilem Kevi Tiveim. The name, first of all, certainly Mekubalim tell us that Al Pi HaKabbalah, when a person is given a name, that name has in it, I'm not equipped to discuss that part, Philip, that's not my area. I leave it to others in the shul, the capitalists here. But there's no question that Yesh Mizeh Gamkein Dvarim Shmeniim, Dvarim Ruchaniim. But the Ramban says here that Hashem reflects the very essence of what that person is all about. Hashemos, he says, Hem lo rak simonim v'akiram, but habdolos raminim v'tzurosim anafshis. Depends on the nefesh of the individual. So a person is able literally through Hashem to understand what the nature of that individual is. And that's why, unquestionably, Hashem is very critical. And Chazal, for example, tell us, Gemara Ervin, Nafkuf, famous Gemara, where the Gemara tells us about different animals that have different qualities. For example, the Tarnagol is known for its Da'acheres, the Chatul is known for its Tznius. Gemara has a whole list over there of animals, and we know that Gemara Mokama tells us that other, that that Ari, Doreis V'Ochel, if I'm not mistaken, that's why he's part of Shisavabim, and also Zev is Dafka Toreif. The verbs are also very, very pregnant, very saturated with meaning in terms of the nature of the individual. So the Shem is critical.
The name of Darshan the Shem.
Correct, Darshan Shemos, that's the Gemara says. There's a Basar Shema, Basar Taima, a Shachin Yordea, and the Gemara says also, Atikri Shamei Sala Shemos. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Sa'at Torah, was very into this issue, the issue of Shemos. I can't describe it, I don't have time to describe a few backs and forths that were had relating to his position on Shemos for another occasion. But whatever the case is, we know that Hashem is very critical. And what?
Shmogoran.
About it? Shmogoran, 100%. So there's no doubt that, as I said here, what I'm trying to underscore is, beside the fact that clearly a person's actions have a major impact, behavioral therapy, that's all Seva Chinuch. The entire Seva Chinuch is based Lefi, essentially, a person is Nimshach Lefi Pu'ulosa. That's why I want you to do, again and again, good things, obviously, mitzvahs, mitzvah goreres, mitzvah aveira, goreres aveira. But there's no question that ultimately there's a identification between, hopefully, a person's Shem and his Maisim. Rav Chaim Voloshin has in the second Shar, he discusses the Pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Mem Zayin, Meinem Mispa L'Kechavim, L'Chulam Shem L'Sikwa, or the Pasuk he quotes, Sumar Minechem Ru Mibar Ha'ilah Ha'maitzim Bispar Tzvam, L'Kulam Shem Yikra. So what does that mean? What's the Shemach of these two Pesukim? Everyone could identify something with whatever particular name they want to confer upon it. So the answer to the Chaim Voloshin is that, at least I believe is what he's trying to convey, that every Nivra, be it organic matter, inorganic matter, has certain koichas, and certainly the human being, where the top of the rung, domeim tzomea chayim medaber, what the Rambam called muta kalimun, amedabrim. That's the lashon of the Targum Onkelos. Vayir the nefesh chaya, the nefesh memalula. So our maisim and our shem, hopefully, identify with each other. I'll give you an example, and I'm not talking about Pia Kabbalah now. Ato echod, v'shimcha echod. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is echod, and achdus that is absolutely indescribable, so too his maisim are also echad. Now sometimes a person does things that we don't fully understand, but ideally one should be mashlim, one thing should be mashlim the other. So I just use an example which I like always to use, is the example of Shifra and Pua. You don't have a Shinu Shemos, those are the real names. Mitzad what? Mitzad the maseim, and Rashi quotes it as we all know, that what they did, Meshaperes Zavlad, Po'al Avlad, so therefore, those qualities, those masim, reflect their name. Those masim are embedded in their name. The name itself is not just a a convention in order to identify them, but rather it really reflects their essence. There's a medrash Tanchum and Vayakel. My father Bisham used to quote this medrash all the time. Atamote Shlosha Shemas Nikul Adam. Echem Ashikur Lo Abba V'Imo, a name that's called by his father and mother. Echem Ashikur Lo B'nei Adam, what people call him. Echem Ashikur Adam Koinu Lo Atzmo, that which a person acquires on his own. Toiv Shebekulon, said the Medrash, Ashikur Lo Atzmo, that's the real Shem. That reflects whom that person is. And that's what the Rav Weishlita was citing that Gemara in Brachas. I assume he was citing that. The Gemara asked the Kasha, if I'm not mistaken, regarding Rus. Why is she called Rus? So the Gemara says that Yachsa, Zachsa, the Yatsi men of David, Sharyu Lakarish Bacha, Bashir Tishbachas. Famous Gemara in Brachas. That Rus is related to, and the Gemara says over there, Minolam the Shema Gorim. That's the Gemara you're quoting. How do we know that the Shem is Gorim? The Gemara says, the Chub Chazu, Nifalos Hashem, Asher Shom, Asher Som, Shamos Boris, Artikel Shamos, Ela Shemos. Anyway, that's exactly the point that the Gemara is trying to make, and that's the point over here. Why does the Torah tell us it's Bechlau? That's what the Kasha of Nechai asked. The answer is because Shema Lefi Maaseh. When we took Kach, he spied al Beno till he became Achmanu Litzan from Megati v'Mekalim. And that's what Chazal Rashi quotes in here also. Shlomis Dava Pakpeta. Shalom Aloch, Shalom Aloch, Shalom Aleichem. Nefatfetes Bedvorim. Shalom Aleichem. And that's exactly that Mitzri Hanoges, who's Metamio, what Rashi quotes in earlier in Chumash. Bas Dibri, Dabronis Oysa, Midaberis and Kolodom, and therefore the, unfortunately, the Kilkol emerged. It's actually a Mishnah in Ksubis, the Mishnah Dabai Bey, is a famous Mishnah. Averis Adas Yehudis Ezoi, Zoshe Midaberis and Kolodom. Now, I'm not here to tell you what the parameters are of this side. People ask me this all the time. What are the parameters? Chazal say, Mea Kabitsiha Yodolodom, Tisha Mitisha, not the Lashon, not the Kolodom Kula, Gimon Kedusha. So, Map Shadpo, what does that mean? On the contrary, Dibur is a good thing. Women have many, many qualities, and one of the qualities which is significant in women is the quality of Dibur. That's an often a quality that can be used by them, and they do use it in a very positive kind of way. I always say, maybe, in many of the shuls, not this one, okay? Let's just leave this one aside. Many of the shuls where I was a rav, so I wanted to get something accomplished, I would turn to women. It always was accomplished. But here we have exceptions, Dr. Callis and others who are exceptions to the rule. They are, Baruch Hashem, very vibrant, active, and successful doers. And just not just a doer, but Gol HaMaaseh, Yesim and Aiseh. You need both. Anyway, B'kitzur, I'm just trying to say that this quality all comes from the mother, and therefore, the Shem of the mother is critical. Shu the Gemara said the last time in Sukkah, Shusu Dinuko, the Abo the Ima. That's true, but the Gemara says Shusa. Now I have my own shot on that. What Shusa is? Shusa refers to the casual conversation. Magi lo adam asechay. Gemara chagiga. Gemara said that they're going to tell a person apil sichel kalav edish ishlo magi lo b'shas adid. Gemara chagiga. But it's true. But that's Shusa diinuka. However, ultimately, the influence of a mother is so overwhelming and so absolutely beyond description. That's, I believe, is what this parsha actually is all about. Now, this really was a kind of introduction, but I see what's happening. So I have to know my limitations as well. So even though I wanted to add another keta to this whole matter, I won't do so. Perhaps another occasion, but then I think the Yesod HaDvarim that I said is found here in Rishonim, and namely that it's incredible. I tell this to young men all the time. I'm involved in a lot of shidduchim, kol hayom u'kol halayla, and I always tell them a number of yesodos. Number one, in my sometimes joking fashion, marry someone who's more frum than you are. I tell them, for you, it's not too difficult. I say it very openly. Number two, you have to be extraordinarily careful about whom you marry. Extraordinarily, because at the end of the day, that's what a person's house is his wife. And I have probably just only because of age, a bit more experience than many sitting in this room. And I've been around the block, I've been Sadek Dushin umpteen times, and I've seen a lot in my life, and ain't shum sofek, the wife, the mother, she's the kohen. As much as, Baruch Hashem, in front of me I have wonderful male models, and shum safek. But at the end of the day, a woman has bina yisrael nita l'isha. Chazal speaking about my father, Shem used to always be bothered, I think I mentioned this kasha before, in the Parsha in Matos, where the Torah presents the Parsha in the Dorim, the Torah has one pasuk relating to a man, the beginning. Ish ki doned el Hashem, yishav ashua, leshla yisrael nafsho, le'achol dvaro. Then from then on, it's all women. What's going on here? So Chazal said, Noshim Nabdoni Yosei, Noshim Makshoni Yosei, and those are good qualities, not necessarily qualities that are negative in nature. Because of their regesh, and because of the dibur that's associated with that regesh, and because of the nature of women and the Bina Yisera, that's what this parasha is all about. That's what the Torah here underscores, the role of women and how critical they are. And therefore, as I hear all the time, and this is Chazal saying all the time, B'schus Nashim Sikonios Nigolo Yisrael in Mitzvayim, they also see many Chazal, Tachas HaTapuach HaRatich, famous Midrashim, about the ability of women to encourage their males, their husbands, their families, despite the avodas perach that they were subjected to. That's the godless of a woman, and there could also be a chamon l'islan l'ro'etz, if it's not utilized, the qualities that she has, not in an improper way, and that's the parasha over here, of Eitzev Edisha Yisraelis. So one has to be recognizing, one has to recognize the godless of women and their ability, the kishreiness, their potential. And there's no question that B'schus Nashim Sikoni Yos Nigalo Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, alavai that we should continue to Baruch Hashem and recognize their koiches, and Yitz Hashem we should be zocher to the Gula Shleim.